There's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that if you are wearing pink, you can stay. The bad news, if you're not wearing pink, the ushers will be ushering you out the door. You gotta go. If you didn't get the memo, we're sorry, but you gotta go. Just joking. We are a welcoming church. We love people. We don't want to cut anybody off, but it reminds me of the scriptures that we read about when we talked about when God says we need to be clothed with Christ. You know, there is a type of clothing that we must have in order to be a Christian. And we can't put that clothing on. We can't produce the fabric. God, through his mercy, kindness, love, grace, forgiveness, allows us to put on Christ. And those that make it to heaven will be those that fully put on Jesus, are clothed with Christ. And it's a blessing, and I'm thankful that we have received the memo. We're not in the dark, right? Very grateful to know how to put on those clothes. And so this morning, we want to continue talking about what it means to follow Christ. And really, as a church, we have a foundation statement that keeps us grounded so that when the winds and the waves of this life come about, and they do come every day, we can be secure, we can be grounded, not in our own talents, abilities, fortunes, or misfortunes, but we can be grounded in our relationship with Christ. So our foundation, our grounding statement, really, we express it by saying we need to follow him. And following him is not just following him around, seeing what he does and applauding it and going, that's awesome, Jesus. We praise you for what you just did. No, it's a little deeper than that. It's that we are following him to become like him, which is a whole nother world. People can applaud and go to church and say amen, hallelujah, but not really be intentional about becoming like Christ. In order to become like Christ, what must we do? Deny ourselves. Kind of die to self and be alive in Christ. Now, so our foundation statement is that we follow him, we become try to become like him, and when you're with him and around him and get to know him, guess what happens? We're transformed by him. We have some very bright people in this room. We have very bright and talented people in this room. And the brightest of us and the most talented of us cannot transform self. You get transformed, you change to become like Jesus when you're around him. When you're around his word, when you're around his people, you change and become like him. Amen? Now, when you change and become like him, then you start having his desires, his passions, and you're on his mission. And so we join him in that. We become empathetic like Jesus. We serve like him. We sacrifice like him. We're bold like him. We get rid of our prejudices like him. We serve like him. And so as a church, 1200, we want to be clothed with Christ. The only way we can do that is to continue to come back to our foundation. Continue to come back to our foundation. In the Follow Me series, and we'll have many of our Follow Me series. We'll have a Follow Me series just about every week almost, because it does come back to following Christ. Typically, the first people we want to follow or want to imitate are what? Our parents. Those are people we see, and we want to imitate them. We want to become like them. Most of us do. We also want to become like our athletes that we see on TV. kids, they're impressionable. So you know, we want to be like these athletes. We want to be like, bend it like Beckham. We want to be like these athletes. We want to have the success, the courage, the strength, the might, the talent that they have. We also want to be like the leaders of this country or of the community. We also want to be like the celebrities who have fancy cars, live in big mansions, party, celebrate. Celebrities, we want to be like them. We're impressionable. Now, who did you want to be like the most when you were growing up? Who was it? Yeah. He said so. He has a story. Yeah. So. Uncle Leon, okay.
He lived in Atlanta. And so he would come home. He was like the guy that I wanted to be like. When I would come home after school, I would see his suitcases in my room, his clothes in my closet, his Lagerfeld on the counter.
Oh, the Lagerfeld, ah.
My Uncle Leon is here, and he did everything that I wanted to do.
So he you wanted to be like Uncle Leon. Why? What was so impressionable about it?
Oh, I mean, my Uncle Leon is I'm not tall, but, you know, he's tall. He's handsome. He's well-liked, he's well-spoken.
Ah, well-spoken, well-liked.
Regardless of what, where he was, what he was doing, everybody wanted to be around Mr. Mason.
All right, Leon, Uncle Leon. All right, yes, Heather. Yes. Okay. Yes, all that. Yes, she's all that. Tall. There's a theme going on. Tall people. Yes. Yeah, Becky.
I wanted to be like Julie Andrews.
Ah. Though a dear, a female dear. Yeah, wasn't she sweet? Who didn't love Julie Andrews? Yeah. Some of you guys, who is Julie Andrews? Google it. Sound of Music. Who else? Who'd you want to be like? Yes, Dan.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Me and my friends would play Batman and Robin, and we would have this fight. Decide who got to be Batman, she has to be.
Yeah, you didn't want to be Robin, yeah. Who wants to be a support, right? Yeah, yes, please. Uncle Fred, okay. He knew the, wow. He always what? Wow, awesome. Her uncle made sure that she was special. He saw who she was and valued her. Yeah, Marilyn. Mrs. Robinson. Okay. Wow. Gave you great experiences. Okay, yeah. Yeah, one more. Judy. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, one more. Yeah, good. Good. You had your hand up. Yeah. Wayne Gretzky. Now, did obviously you played hockey growing up, right? Or no? What's that? Street hockey, okay. And Wayne's not that tall, is he? Here we got a short guy we want to be like. Yeah, there you go. Wayne Gretzky. Okay, I wanted to obviously be like my dad. You know, I wanted to be like him. Pops was a college football star. I didn't want to play football like him, but I wanted to be a sports star. And our life was just all about sports. And he would drop me off, pick me back up. On summers, he would drop me off at Forest Meadows. Back in the day, where you can drop your kid off at Forest Meadows and pick them back up after work. And I would stay there and play tennis all day long. He was always at my baseball games. Even he would stop by and look at my practices. He would throw balls to me where I can hit them, and his arm would be like out of socket, you know. Because I'd say, one more, Dad, one more, you know. And I wanted to be like him. And here's a picture of my father and me, if you had that up there. This was a few years ago. We have some problems with that. We're having problems, okay. There's a picture of myself and my dad just a few years ago, and we were in a golf cart, and we were playing golf, and I wanted to be as competitive as he was. I wanted to beat him, and I was so excited when I could beat him. And really, my dad didn't get mad that I can beat him. He wanted me to beat him. He wanted me to succeed. And so I wanted to be like Dad. And then after you know, being like Dad, wanting to be like Dad when I was in my teenage years, I wanted to be like Ozzie Smith. You know, how many of you know Ozzie Smith? He's a shortstop. You know, I wanted to be as talented as he was. I wanted to field ground balls like he did. I wanted to hit like, I wanted to be an all-star. I wanted to be Ozzie Smith. And matter of fact, I'd put Ozzie Smith on my gloves. And then after that kind of wore out, I wanted to be more like me. I wanted to be a better me. I wanted to be somebody. I wanted them to call not me the Ozzie Smith or Mr. I wanted them to call me A. Anthony Battle, Ant. Then, of course, I realized as I looked in the mirror that me needed a lot of help. That becoming more like me was actually hurting people, hurting relationships, drawing me further and further away from God, drifting away from God, trying to be like me. Trying to be self-sufficient, prideful, arrogant, praising me, not praising anybody else. I became a Christian. I started to follow then Jesus. Simple. Jesus was who I saw. I wanted to imitate and become like. My dad had flaws, and so do I. These stars, these celebrities, these athletes, they have flaws. Jesus is perfect. I wanted to be like Jesus. I didn't know these celebrities, but I was getting to know Jesus, and he was the best man I'd ever met. So I wanted to be like him. I wanted to be like Jesus. Why follow Jesus? Why follow the Son of God? What is the motivation for us? Why should we even desire to follow Jesus? Who could tell me? Why should we desire as Christians to follow him? Why is that a part of our foundation statement? Why is that so important? Yeah.
I was motivated by his unconditional love for me.
Mm-hmm. Personal, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
He's the core of love and life.
Mm.
He's the source of life. I wouldn't be with him. Not like me.
Mm. The core of life. The only thing that gave, Vincent said, the only thing that gave his life meaning was Jesus. The only one who really understood him and gave his life meaning was Jesus.
Yeah.
Fear and anxiety. Jesus was the only one that could really take it away. Totally away was Jesus. Perfect love drives out fear, right? Yeah.
Hmm.
Thank you for sharing. And learning the hard way, learning that there's only one person we can really count on in this life. And it's hard to say, but even our spouses, our children, our parents will eventually let us down because they're human. Jesus never will. Yes.
And I just think about, you know, the Beatitudes versus blessed are those who hunger for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like being able to be like Jesus in this world is to love people the way he loved and have the heart that he had, and, you know, just to kind of hunger for anyone.
Yeah. You know, I love what you said, the purity of Jesus. The purity of heart, his pure motivations for why he loves me. You know, people love you for a lot of different reasons. But Jesus is the only one that loves me for me and who I am. Pretty amazing. Couple more. Yes, Lynn.
Just out of gratitude. Like, he's the only one that really gets me and knows me and understands me and still loves me.
Mm. Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Everything he wants for me
yeah.
is for my good.
Yeah. Very powerful. Who gets you? Now, Lynn said, no one else gets Lynn. And we go, amen to that. We know Lynn. hey, no one gets Lynn like Jesus. No one gets you like him. Now, you might not think that he really gets you or understands you, and sometimes that's a defense mechanism for us doing what we want to do and being who we want to be. Nobody gets me, so I'm going to sin. No, Jesus gets you. He understands. If you don't believe it, he says he's been tempted in every way just like we are, yet was without sin. Yeah, one more. Get over. Wow. You know, very important. The older we get, sometimes we can realize just through experience that we can try to put on these airs, but really, it ends up being synthetic or superficial. But what we really crave is to be loved and liked and understood. And sometimes when we're young, we don't understand that because we want to be the show versus really understanding that we are loved by God deeply. Yeah, one more. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing. You know, following Jesus, doing it our way. Sometimes we can follow Jesus our way. You know, we go, oh, this is how I want to follow. I'm going to map out, three Sundays a month, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read a scripture a day and get inspired by the word. And I'm going to be around some people that also follow Jesus. And so sometimes we can limit that by just kind of putting our own standard to it. But I want to talk about a motivation this morning that I believe is so true and real and something we need to embrace when it comes to following Jesus. And really, I believe Jesus is saying, follow me because, and that's going to be kind of our line for this month. Follow me because. Follow me because I love you. Follow me because I love you. Not follow me if you don't want to go to hell. That's a really nice motivation, isn't it? No. Not follow me because I said so and you better do it. Follow me because I died for you. Do you realize that? I died for you. No, not that. Follow me because I love you. I love you. We're going to talk about God's part today and the way that he initiates his love. He says, follow me because I love you, and I'm going to show you how much I love you. Because I know some of you don't believe it. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to go the distance in my love for you. Further than you would go for you. Further than your parents would go for you. I'm going to go so far that I pray that you will sense and understand my love for you. So God's part, he initiates. He sets the tone. He says, I love you. And our part is to respond to that. Or not. Or not. And then we're going to talk about the church's part in supporting each other. And Dennis did a fabulous job in talking about that. So God's part, here's the truth. We would not have anything or anyone to follow if God didn't decide to come down, to live and set an example, to suffer, to die, and to be resurrected. So we would not have anyone to follow, especially we wouldn't have the image of God to follow if he didn't decide to do this. And so I take my Bible very seriously when I look at the examples. I want to study it out. I want to learn, how did you live? He initiates. John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. He came down to die and suffer. It is the gospel story. But he didn't come down to die for a people who were waiting for him to die. In Romans 5:8, but God proves his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, it's not like we were waiting to follow Jesus. While we were still separated, sinners, drifting, rebelling. That's when it's hard to die for somebody. I like to die for people who are with me and are cheering for me. I'll die for you then. But if you're against me, if you're turning and doing your own thing, you know what my nature is? Well, fine. I'm gonna go ahead. Make your day. Go ahead. God, while we were still sinners, Christ loved us enough to die. In Ephesians 3, follow me because I love you. Paul prays this prayer for this reason. I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in what? Love. Not in law, not in legalism. Established in the love. may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God, Jesus says, follow me because I love you. I've demonstrated it. What more can I do? I've done all I can do. Now it's your response. Follow me because I love you, because I've given you goodwill and benevolence. That's God's initiation. And he wants us to be rooted, planted, fixed. One cannot truly follow without being rooted in love. You won't be able to do it. If you're rooted in legalism, well, this is what I have to do, you're not going to do it. You're going to fall short. You're going to do it your way. You're going to edit it. You're not going to do it God's way. You're going to do it your way. You got to be rooted and you got to be grounded in his love. You know what kind of love Paul says it is? It's a high love. What does that mean? It's a high love. The height of his love. What does that mean to you? God's love is so high. Yeah. Not of this world. Superior, not of this world. What else? So high. So lofty. What do you think? It's coming from the Creator. It's the highest of high. What about the depth of God's love? Huh? Yeah. It's bottomless, it's endless. It's so deep. It's so deep that he died for it. He suffered for it. How deep is that? Who would you die for right now? Who would you take their place right now? Oh, yeah. And some people say, not even family, right? Who would you talk? I mean, the depth of it, yes. Hmm. Yeah. Yep, that's right. You know, sometimes, and that's a great point, we project how we would love people is the way that God loves people. We go, oh yeah, God wouldn't love, he doesn't love me because I just did that. Well, get a little deeper. Get a little deeper. Matter of fact, go as deep as you can. And God is saying, there's nothing you've done that I won't love you still for. Versus us going, hey, you know, you try that, I'm through with you. You ever said that to somebody? I'm done. You crossed the line. Well, because your love is not deep enough. Or what about the width of his love? I mean, how broad is it? How outstretched? I mean, it's so stretched out. It's not just one group of people or one type of people. It's all people. It's all people. It's people that rub you the wrong way. It's people that you don't understand. He's like, it's so wide. You ever go, I'm just too messed up to be loved by God? You need this scripture. If you feel like somebody else is too messed up to be loved by God or loved by you, you need this scripture. It's wide. Yeah, Gene.
I've always thought when I read this scripture, what it says is that God's love is non-dimensional.
Mm.
You cannot define it dimensionally,
and we find
that because we live in a three-dimensional.
That's right. That's right.
See everything in terms of depth.
Yep. It's beyond definition dimension. I love that. It's high, it's deep, it's wide, and it's long. It's long. Do you have a timetable? Do you go, I'm going to love you just this much? Are you willing to suffer for a long time? It's hard. It's hard. Yeah, Teresa. Mm.
Always.
Yeah. Just by now. But God is saying, I'm going to give you 10 years. You got to get over this. And then you're done. We put limits on that and on people. Not God, yeah. Follow me because I love you.